We're going to talk about why it is wrong for churches of Christ to support human institutions. You know, there has been two major divisions among churches of Christ in the last 100 years. Right after the beginning of what we generally call the Restoration Movement in this country, and men and women were leaving denominationalism and obeying the gospel by the hundreds, and some of the very men who had left denominationalism, who had fought the hardest against human institutions to do the work of the church, became the men who became the very leaders of bringing about a human institution to do the work of the church. I'm talking about the first digression that resulted in the Christian church and the introduction of the missionary society, which is a human institution to be used to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This human institution was formed about 100 miles from here up in Cincinnati. It was formed in 1849, and Alexander Campbell was the first president of that human institution. And what that institution proposed to do was to take money from treasuries of churches contributing and giving to this human institution, and in turn let that institution go into all the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We might just illustrate what was going on. We'll use some circles here to represent churches, and we'll use this square here to represent the missionary society. And we see that these churches, they sent their money over here to this human institution, and in turn, this human institution, then they sent the men out to preach, and they supported the men. So you can see then that these churches were working through this human arrangement to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, what occurred? I'll tell you what occurred. A major division occurred. It was more than a major division. When the division was over, very few brethren in comparison stood for the truth. If I remember correctly, it seems to me after the division, when the count was made in about, I believe around 1906 or somewhere along in there, about maybe 2,600 churches of Christ. And the major portion of brethren went with the missionary society to do their work through a human institution. And in our own generation, in this time, in the last 30 years, we have seen another major division. And that major division has been over human institutions. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's a missionary society, or whether it be called a college, or whether it be called a benevolent society, otherwise known as an orphan's home, or whatever the human institution is, they all stand and fall on the same basis. Because they are all human institutions set up to do the work that God intended the church to do. Well, the last division that we just went through about 25 or 30 years ago, the majority of brethren became involved with these human institutions, and the majority of brethren went into digression. I would say that not more than 10% of the church of the Lord stood for the truth in the last digression. And so that ought to frighten us, that ought to cause us to see the need to constantly keep before our young people the necessity of understanding the Bible principles of why we do not do our work through human arrangements. Now, as we begin to look at human institutions, I want to point out some truths concerning human institutions that are formed to do the work of the church. First, I want to point out that they originate in the minds of men. Now, the missionary society, it originated in the mind of Alexander Campbell and other men. They began to say, well, now we need to do more preaching, and we need to harness the churches that we might get the most out of them, and we just need to be doing greater things. And so the way they decided to do it was to bring about this human arrangement and to activate the church universal. And so this thing did not originate in the mind of God, it originated in the minds of men. And the same is true, of course, with the what we generally call the orphan's home, or the benevolent societies, or the college, or whatever it is. You know, we need to understand that a college is just like a missionary society, or a benevolent society, or anything of that nature, from the standpoint of being a human institution. Now, I believe a college has a right to exist as long as it exists as an individual enterprise, that it has and has no connection with the large church. But when a college begins to take funds from local congregations to do the work of the church, then of course it is parallel to every other human institution. The church does not have a right to do its work through organizations that have originated in the minds of men. Now, as we begin to study, we see that they are formed to do the work of the church. That's the reason the missionary society was formed. That's the reason benevolent societies were formed around over the country. The one down at Spring Hill, the one down in Cullman, Alabama, called Child Haven. Or you go out west and you'll find several. All of them were formed to do the work of the church. They are organizations that are separate and apart from the church. As you can see my illustration on the board, they solicit and accept contributions from churches. This is where they receive their support. They are larger than a local congregation. They are not amenable to any church or eldership. Now, these organizations, they want the money of churches. They want elders to send their money to them. But they are not amenable to any eldership. Say this eldership here should be supporting, we'll call this an orphan's home or a benevolent society. Well, once they send their money down there, that board of directors control that, and they feel no obligation whatsoever to this eldership. This eldership could plead with them to do this or that, and they'd do what they please down there, because these human organizations are not amenable. In other words, they don't have to give an account to the churches from which they take the money. Now, these are just lessons we need to learn. They have their own constitutions and bylaws, and they're regulated, of course, by the states wherever they might be formed. Their organizations designed to give greater effectiveness to the mission of the church. In other words, that's what they say about it. They don't give greater effectiveness, But that's the idea behind the forming of these human arrangements. They assume the oversight and responsibility of a portion of the treasuries of churches. They emerge in the sight of the world as being official functioning organs of churches of Christ. And so whenever something happens to one of these human organizations that's bad, then every church of Christ in the area is reflected upon. And this has been brought to our attention of late this past year down in North Alabama, where Child Haven is located. Child Haven had several on the staff that were molesters of children. Now, this was a scandalous thing that happened in North Alabama. This reflected on every Church of Christ in Alabama and in North Alabama. And men like Bill Cavender and others did what they could to stand up and make it known to the community that every Church of Christ is not involved in this human organization. But you see, what happens to these organizations reflect upon the whole of God's people, because the world looks upon these organizations as simply being institutions of churches of Christ. And they are organizations, as we pointed out already, to activate the church universal. They are self-created, self-governing bodies. In other words, these organizations simply come about not by the authority of the Word of God, not because God has authorized them, but simply because a group of men get together and they decide, we'll create this organization and we'll bring it about and we'll set it up to do a work that God intended the church to do, and then we'll take our baby and we'll lay it on the doorstep of the churches and we'll say, feed it. And you know, that's the trouble. Many brethren have fed it. But what we need to understand is these organizations are wrong, and I'm going to show you why they are wrong. They are sinful when they are set up and they function to do the work that God intended the church to do. They displace the church. They do that which God intended his church to do. Now, the first argument that I want to make against these organizations is this. They are wrong, or it is wrong for the local church to give to human institutions because there is no scriptural authority for their practice. There's just no scriptural authority whatsoever for the practice of a congregation giving money to a human institution. Every congregation is under the authority of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the Ephesian letter. In the first chapter of the Ephesian letter, and looking on down to about verse 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul says, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He has all authority. Look back to Matthew 28 and verse 18. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. And if you would turn to the words of James, James would tell us in the fourth chapter of the book of James, and about verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? Now that one lawgiver is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. Anything this congregation does, or any other congregation does, it must have authority from Jesus Christ. He is the head. And if we cannot find authority in the form of a command, or in the form of an apostolic approved example, or if we cannot find a necessary inference, and I mean a necessary inference, not a reasonable inference, but the Bible teaches that authority is established by a necessary inference. It's necessarily inferred, like Acts 20 and 7. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread, and it is necessarily inferred that as often as the first day came, the disciples came together. Now, when you can find a necessary inference, then you have Bible authority. But if you cannot find a necessary inference, or if you cannot find an approved apostolic example, or if you cannot find a command, then the Lord has not authorized it. So working through human organizations is wrong. Why? Because there is no command for a local church to do any of its work through a human organization. There is no example in the whole of the New Testament where a congregation, where a church of Christ ever took one dime and gave to a human institution that human institution might do the work of the church. And so there is no divine authority. That's what's wrong with it. And if I said no more, if you respected the Word of God, that should be enough. But let's look on. It's wrong for a church to donate funds to human institutions because the church itself is sufficient. Now I want to drive that home. This congregation is sufficient to do everything God commands the church to do. The church is not dependent upon human institutions to fulfill its mission. Now, when you bring human institutions, I don't care what you call them, among the churches, and you say, now the church needs to support these human institutions to do the work that God intended the church to do, then you have made the church dependent upon these institutions. What you're saying is the church is not sufficient to do its work without these institutions. But the Word of God teaches that the church is all sufficient, that it does not need any other institution to do its work. Every work that God has assigned this church to do, it is sufficient to do it, and does not need any outside organizations or auxiliaries to do its work. Now that's just the truth you and I must learn. Now let's look at what's essential to doing a work. Here are the essentials that are involved in doing the work that God has assigned the church to do. You must have supervision, you must have administration, and you must have provisions. Now I recognize that a missionary society, it will have its supervision, it'll have its president and vice president, and it will have its administration. It will have men who will go forth to preach, and it'll send them forth, and other servants, and provisions. But it wants to get its provisions, money, back from churches to support it. But when we began to look at the church, we see that the God of heaven gave the church supervision, He gave it administration, and he made possible for it to have provisions. Now let's look at it. He gave it supervision. What did he do? He put a plurality of elders in every church. That is the apostolic order. Go back to Acts 14 and 23. The record says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now, what is the apostolic order? A plurality of elders in every church. Now, what are these elders to do? They are to be the supervisors. They are to give the supervision to the local church. They are to be the overseers. Come back with me to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts and verse 28. The apostle says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, you see, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And the word feed here is the idea of shepherd, to shepherd the church of God. So they are shepherds, they are bishops, they are overseers. They superintend, they tend to the work of God in the local congregation. That's their responsibility. God gave supervision to the local church. Let's look at some other passages. Let's look at 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. And in verse 2, he says, feed, or the idea is shepherd, you see, the flock of God which is among you, what? Taking the oversight thereof. Who is he addressing? The elders, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. So we see we have supervision. That's the work of elders. They are to take the lead. They are to rule. Listen now, as Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy in the 5th chapter and verse 17 of 1 Timothy. He says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. They are to rule, you see. They are over us in the Lord. Listen now to Paul as he writes to the Thessalonians. He says in verse 13 of the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, talking about the elders, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient to all men. And so you can see that these men, as they labor among us, go back to verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Now notice, this phrase is where I'm hunting. And are over you in the Lord and admonish you. It's over under relationship. They are the supervisors. They are the oversight. They take the oversight. They rule in accordance, of course, with the Word of God. God put supervision in the church. He didn't leave us without supervision. That's what's wrong with a lot of congregations today. They are going in every direction because they do not have scriptural supervision. But God gave supervision, but let me tell you, he gave administration too. He gave deacons. Deacons are to minister. Let's go back, if you will, to the Roman letter. Look in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And notice there, if you will, to about verse 7. You see our ministry, you see that? That has reference to the deacon. If I have any understanding, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. He's talking now about the administration in a congregation. You have the deacons. You have men who minister, who carry out the responsibilities that are congregational. We have several deacons here, and they work under the eldership just as the rest of us do. They carry out special responsibilities. They are part of the administration. They help minister what goes on around here, you see. Then there are teachers, you see. So we have supervision and we have ministration. We have people to help carry out the work. We have deacons, we have teachers, we have the work of the evangelist. For time we'll not read it, but call to your attention, you're familiar with it, Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And then we have members, every member, go to Ephesians 4:16. Every member is to supply his part. So what do we have here? We have God's organization, the church. We have supervision. We have administration. We have the workers to carry out the work God intended to be done. We are a sufficient organization. See, many brethren don't even appreciate the church. They just think it's a money-raising society to support something else and let it do the work. Now, God not only provided us supervision and administration, but he provided us provision. How are we to get our provisions? Every member give on the first day of the week. Turn to 1 Corinthians 16. And if you will, look at the first two verses. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. We took our provisions this morning. Every member gave as he had been prospered into this common treasury. So we have provisions, we have supervision, we have administration. Now, you tell me what a missionary society has that this don't have. A missionary society has supervision, administration, and provisions that is taken from the church. But the church has supervision, administration, and provision, and it is sufficient to do its work as any human organization is to do the work. It's more so because it is divine and it is God's arrangement. But you see, men are never pleased with the arrangement of God. They love their own creations more than the creation of God. Now, let's look at the local church in relation to some of these human institutions. A school, and I've seen this, and I can produce the writings of men who have begged from this standpoint. A school begs churches for funds because it claims to train church leaders. Basil Baxter, he's dead, but he was one of the great leaders among the liberals, one of their leaders, a speaker on Herald of Truth, on the Bible faculty down at Lipscomb for years, the head of the department, if I remember correctly, of the Bible department. He made this plea that churches ought to be supporting schools like Lipscomb and Fried Hardeman and Abilene and other schools because they were training the church leaders. Well, let me tell you something. The God of heaven made provision right here to train the leaders. Don't you ever forget it. And it's easy maybe for some of us to forget it. Sometimes we may think that a boy can't preach unless he goes to Florida College. And I'll tell you, when we get that mindset, we are on the same kind of road that carried us where the liberals are today. I have no objection to a boy going to Florida College. But whenever an eldership gets to the place, the boy says, I want to preach. And they say, well, now you better trot off down to Florida before you'll be able to do any preaching. Then that's the wrong mindset. Let me tell you something. This is sufficient to train the workers in the church. It's a sufficient organization, and I believe that with all my heart. He put administration. He put supervisors who also are teachers. That's one of the qualifications of the supervisors, of the eldership, the supervision. They are to be teachers, evangelists, and teachers. What's our responsibility? For the perfecting of the saints, the building up of the saints, that in order that they might minister, you go back now to Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, that they might minister. How? In every respect, whatever is necessary to ministering in the service of the Lord, we are equipped or should be equipped to teach. If we're not, we'd better get equipped. A congregation can produce its eldership, it can produce its teachers, it can produce its evangelist. But we've been caught up for years in the idea that we need outside auxiliaries to do what God intended the church to do. The church is a sufficient organization. And this is the plea that the liberal churches, these schools that are connected with liberal churches, this is the plea that they make. We train church leaders, therefore send us your money. But the local church, as I have already shown you, is equipped to do everything that the school can do. I'll tell you something else. The benevolent societies, they appeal to the church. You give us your money and we'll take care of your benevolence. We'll take care of the needy. Well, God intended every congregation take care of its own needy, and he limited the needy. We are not dealing with that aspect, but he limited the needy who the local church was to take care of its own. But we have supervision, administration, we have deacons and members and good sisters in the Lord. We can do anything that any human organization can do in ministering to the needy, and we have the provisions. What we need is faith in God's arrangement. God's arrangement is the local congregation. And let me just read before I bring the lesson to a close the component parts of God's arrangement. Look, if you will, to the Ephesian letter in the first chapter. The Philippian letter. If you will, look in the first chapter and look with me now to the first verse when the apostle says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. He breaks down the congregation. There's saints, there's the bishops, the overseers, the supervision, there are the deacons, those that minister, and of course we know from reading other passages those that do the work of an evangelist and teachers. That makes up a local congregation. And the local church is a sufficient arrangement. Young people, don't you ever forget that. God never intended his work to be done through human arrangements. We've only touched the hem of the garment. What's wrong with them? But in time to come, we'll deal more with things of this nature simply for your instruction, that you might know and that you might have conviction and that you might realize when people begin to form and bring about human arrangements to do the work of the church, that this is not God's arrangement. There is no authority for it. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, let me tell you before I bring the lesson to a close what you need to do to be a Christian. To become a part of the Lord's church, to be saved from your sins, you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You need to repent of your ever sin. You need to confess your Lord and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. If you're here and an erring child, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.